Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Sun First Solar. Others promise the moon, they deliver the sun. We're also brought to you by Rose's Cafe, a favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood of San Francisco for the past 20 years. Today's guest is San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea in part two of our conversation. Well, one thing that's going to happen in the month of September is we get our final chance as far as looking at who's making a statement for 2018. I mean, it's really been like that here for the last couple of months. So I've got some players on my list that I think are making a statement. We'll see how they do in the month of September, and some others that really aren't. And, you know, I'll go with Joe Panic as making a statement. You know, the concussion notwithstanding, he got really hot before the concussion. He's been swinging the bat well. After that, hit the home run off the foul pole in San Diego. So, you know, I think he's making a statement to say, you know what, I'm glad you didn't trade me. You know, I'm part of the solution here. You know, I go with him. I go with Chris Stratton, who's been a hot pitcher. He may end up in the rotation. I know Ty Block, as you mentioned earlier, was the most consistent pitcher for the most part, but Stratton lately has been, you know, dominant, striking out 10 in two different outings. His breaking ball's working great. So I'll go with those two guys. Dyson, I think, has made a statement all the way, you know, ever since they got him, which is pretty amazing after having a 10 ERA with the Rangers. And Kelby Tomlinson has made a statement that he belongs on this team. He's a good pinch hitter. He can play different positions. I mean, you got to have him.
Yeah, and I'll throw in a couple other guys. First of all, you talk about Stratton. When he was added to the rotation a few weeks back and Matt Cain came out again, Bochy's line, and this was like the team's last-ditch effort to see what he could do. The number one pick in AAA for 3 years, doesn't blow anybody away with his heater or anything like that, you know, doesn't stand out in any particular way, right? And, right. And Bochy was quoted as saying, well, you know, he could be a 4 or 5 starter. Well, that doesn't really, when you're number one pick and the most you could be is a 4 or 5 starter, it's great. It's a big league. But he's beyond that hotshot prospect stage. And, you know, he's gone through a lot of ups and downs in his professional career. And now suddenly he's the unhittable strikeout guy. And where did that come from? I don't know if they were expecting that. But whether he's going to be in the rotation next year would depend on whether maybe they trade one of those guys. Or somebody gets hurt, maybe his destiny is long relief. I'm not sure. But a couple guys I'd add on to that list. You mentioned Panic and Stratton and Tomlinson. You know, I would throw some margin there. He's always had the good walk, strikeout ratio numbers, but now he's winning. Now he's dominating. Now he's the Samardzija they paid him to be. And
definitely,
maybe he's not a guy that they can move. Maybe he's a guy that they need. You know, Crawford has had a rough situation. You know, he's coming out of it. He's another guy you could, you know, maybe making a statement late. He's finally hitting. He's always played defense, but he's gone through the personal turmoil with the passing of his sister-in-law. And, you know, and he had his own injury. So how about Hunley, the number two catcher, who's probably caught a lot more than anyone thought he would because of Belt's injury and the fact that Posey's played more first base. Hunley's a doubles machine and maybe a little better arm than we thought. And the last guy I might think of is Kyle Crick. I don't know if you mentioned him.
No, and he's done a nice job. Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe a two-inning reliever, maybe – what George Contos was, you know, 6th, 7th guy, or maybe in the 5th inning to close the door. You know, he's got some heat. He's got some stuff, and it seems to play at this level.
Yeah, he's got the same kind of situation, I think, as Stratton, where it took them a while to develop, and it seems like once they got their confidence going, at least lately, you know, for Cricket's, because he's in the bullpen, that change made a big difference for him even in the minor leagues. And for Stratton, it kind of came out of nowhere for Stratton because he wasn't pitching well at AAA earlier this year, and, you know, he just found something. And these guys, when they get confidence like that, it can make a big difference.
And these are a couple of the very few prospects who are stepping up. And others were given a chance. Others couldn't have been given chances because of injuries. And, you know, like Arroyo, who was up for a little while and then Lee caught up to him and he went back down there and got hurt. And Slater got hurt. And Beattie with the groin, he got hurt. I mean, these are three big name prospects who would have gotten a lot of everyday playing time, who are just absent from the scene, the scene right now. Beattie is going to pitch in the fall league, and Slater is going to pitch or going to play in the Dominican, and they're trying to get Arroyo in the Dominican as well. So you're going to see a lot more players, prospects, American-born prospects, playing winter ball, mostly in the Dominican, than you've seen, I think, in many years because, you know, A, they need to evaluate these guys, and B, other teams who might want, you know, to make any kind of trade with the Giants are going to have to look at these guys, and they didn't have enough at-bats or innings or reps in 2017, and they're right on the cusp of getting to the big league, so they need to prove themselves somewhere. They just didn't get the opportunity in the big leagues this year.
We'll continue the conversation with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle right after this.
Right about the time when AT&T Park had groundbreaking ceremonies in the late 90s, San Francisco was celebrating the opening of Roses Cafe at 2298 Union Street. Now, 20 years later, Roses continues to provide a warm, friendly atmosphere, and you can still count on great food. Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Roses bakes all of their own pastries and breads. Open 7 days a week, they serve breakfast, lunch, dinner, and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Check out their menu and hours at www.rosescafesf.com. The next time you're driving to or from AT&T Park, stop by Roses Cafe in Cal Hollow at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
You think it's a little more glaring for the Giants if they don't get production out of some of these young guys because they're so desperate for it? I mean, we're talking about making a statement in the last couple of months. And, you know, Jarrett Parker, at times he's been pretty good, but he hasn't been consistent. He hasn't really been knocking out home runs the way that you thought. And the pressure's on. I mean, if he's going to be your left fielder, I don't see it right now. And Ryder Jones, you know, for him to be a candidate to be on this team next year as a third baseman, I don't know that I see it with him either. And maybe I just don't have the patience. You know, I don't know if Bobby Evans and Brian Sabian and the guys, if they have the patience for those guys.
Yeah, we got Jared Parker, 36 strikeouts, 114 at-bats. That's not as bad as it's been. But on the other hand, he's getting some playing time here, and he's only got two home runs. He's hitting .246, and, you know, he's fine defensively. He can go on some tears. We saw him September a couple years back when he showed up and did fine, but he's not getting consistent power numbers from a guy who needs to show he's got power. And same with Ryder Jones. Jones, who came up and hit nothing for many at-bats and got sent down, is still looking to get over 200. He's a 196, and he only has two home runs. And you could say, well, it's hard to hit at the Giants ballpark. Well, they play half their games on the road, and some of these places are pretty hitter-friendly. So they're getting everyday opportunities, but they're not taking advantage of it as the team would like, as the team tries to put together a 2018 roster. I mean, Parker is out of options. They can send Ryder Jones back. You know, he's got an option. But Parker is out of options. So what do you do with him?
Yeah.
You put him on the roster again, hoping he might be a fourth or fifth outfielder or do you just give up on him? You just cut the string and say, well, you know, it just hasn't worked out. He's late 20s. He's no longer prospect material. He should be in his prime. He should be producing for us. That's a big question because, like I said, the team hasn't had chances to evaluate a lot of the guys who they kind of targeted for next year's roster, you know, from Arroyo all the way to guys who are playing now, Parker and Jones.
More with John Shea in just a moment. We all know that solar systems make financial sense and environmental sense, and when it comes to choosing the best installation crew in the business, Sun First Solar should be your first choice. Sun First Solar has provided solar excellence since 1984. They are SunPower Elite Commercial and Elite Residential installers with a reputation for technical excellence, innovative design, fair pricing, excellent customer service, and end-to-end quality and competence. Sun First Solar is a family business devoted to treating their employees, customers, the community, and the environment with respect, and they are devoted to renewable energy and sustainability throughout the Bay Area. There is no roof or project that is too complicated. Sun First has successfully installed solar on Spanish tile roofs, metal roofs, and very steep roofs. They also have extensive experience in solar ground mounts and solar pool heating. Competitive pricing, expert consultation, and the best warranty. Go local and get your SunPower solar system from Sun First Solar today. Call Sun First Solar at 415-458-5870. That's 415-458-5870. Who are some of the guys that kind of surprised you this year that you're feeling good about going into 2018, sort of the best of what happened this year that maybe you didn't expect? Because for me, it's Austin Slater, and it's really a bummer that he got hurt because, I mean, he was swinging the bat great. And I don't know that I expected that at the major league level. Corey Guerin, I didn't expect him to be as effective. You know, I didn't know what to expect with that delivery. It's kind of strange. You don't know that he's always going to throw strikes. And Christian Arroyo, to come up that quickly, do well initially. I know he struggled, and then you wanted to see more of how he could, you know, make the adjustments. And we will see him, but I still, that was so promising, the way he came out. That was one of the more exciting parts of the year, I thought, when Arroyo first joined the Giants the first couple of weeks.
You're right, and this is not a guy who showed a whole lot of power in the minor leagues, and suddenly he showed up and started hitting home runs. Even he couldn't believe it, and it's not like his average was high, but he was getting big hits, walk-off hits, and RBI hits, and, you know, hits that put the Giants ahead in the score. And it was a huge boost to the clubhouse and to the team that was going nowhere to finally have some youth, a spark. And Bochy was alive again, and he's putting them in the middle of the lineup, and he was putting them at different positions. Well, then he stopped hitting, and then he got sent down, then he got hurt, and we haven't seen him. And then they bring in Pablo, and they're saying, well, Pablo could be part of the 2018 mix. That's why we got him. That's why we have a contract with him through next year and through two. We have team options in 18 and 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, well, what happened to the third baseman of the future, Christian Arroyo?
Right.
And they say, well, you know, he could play other positions. He could play short. He could play second. He come off the bench. And I'm thinking, whoa, okay. So I'm not sure they think so highly of him as they did. And again, he hasn't had a chance to show every day that he could play at this level because of injuries. So, you know, a couple of the best things that I've seen, I would go back to Posey again. You know, the one shining light in the lineup, Dyson, and Ty Block, who was kind of thrown into the rotation. Remember, Matt Cain started this season. And Matt Cain, by the way, has just struggled mightily.
Yeah.
Was really the best starter in April.
Right.
You know, a 2-something ERA in 5 starts, and he was shutting teams down. He was only going 5-6 innings. But you remember, that's the month Bumgarner got hurt. That's the month Cueto was ineffective. Samardzija was ineffective. And who's this guy? Matt Cain, of all people. But then Ty Block got thrown into the mix, and you know, he became a reliable starter. And you know, like a lifetime minor leaguer almost, who comes out and, you know, shows up last year and has some big innings for him, and he's looked fine. You wonder now if he's you know, wearing out, whether the long season is getting to him. But that's, you know, there have been very, there's probably been a lot more negatives
right.
than positives. Well, I mean, there has, not probably. And I mean, I could, yeah, I mean, I could go down a list, you know, starting with Bumgarner falling off his bike and, you know, Melanson, the $62 million reliever, a blown save opening day, and then, you know, he's been out with injuries with the elbow, and, you know, Cueto's ineffectiveness and the injuries and the blisters. Remember, Cueto said he thinks the balls are different this year and the grips are different, leading to his blisters and blisters of many other pitchers. And you know, big thing here is a failure of the rest of the bullpen behind Melanson to get it done. They relied on all these guys, you know, especially Derek Long. He's going to be the big setup guy. Well, where is he now? He's in Sacramento. He's finally pitching okay. You'll see him in September. You know, the Crawford situation with his family and the low batting average. The D was always there. Still a Gold Glover, but, you know, Matt Moore's demise. I mean, there's all the way down the list, there's 10 or 12 things that the team probably said, there's no way this is going to happen, and it did.
Well, I think one of the things at the top of my list is the bullpen, because of the fact that you got to be disappointed with what happened with those young arms, and those are going to be really big decisions for next year, because all you're really hearing about right now is that, oh, yeah, you know, they might be pretty good if Melanson's healthy and Will Smith is back and Dyson showed something and Guerin was pretty good. But what about Derek Law, as you mentioned? What about Josh Osich, who just has really taken a turn for the worse? Steven Okert never really did much. The young guys that were supposed to be a part of this bullpen are not really doing it. You know, George Contos is gone. So it's really going to have a different makeup next year, isn't it?
Yeah, and you sort of wonder how much of a string can they give these guys. You know, a long leash, a short leash? I mean, Hunter Strickland with the walks. I mean, both Strickland and Osich average a strikeout per inning. Well, that's fine. But if you don't walk the house, I mean, in 37 innings, Strickland has walked 25 guys. And, you know, similar numbers for Osich. So it's a situation that's, and Guerin has, you know, a little better, you know, strikeout to walk ratio. And that's so important. You can't pitch an inning and walk a guy. Come in the next day and walk a guy. It just doesn't get it done. You didn't see that out of Romo and Casilla and you know, Lopez and Affeldt. You just didn't see those late inning walks that turned a tie into a deficit or turned a lead into a tie and a deficit. And that's what you're seeing out of these young guys. And that doesn't get it done. So you wonder if how much faith they're going to give these guys again next year, because they gave them every opportunity this year. And it hasn't worked out. And you're right. They could say we'll have Will Smith, we'll have Dyson, we'll have Melanson. And they didn't have those three guys all season. Dyson showed up late in the season, and Melanson got hurt, and Smith with the Tommy John. Now, you know, you had it, you know, late in spring training, and you say, well, some of these are 12 months, 14 months, 16 months. Well, but he's a reliever, so he didn't need to build up, you know, 60, 80, 100 pitches. You know, he just needs to build up enough pitches to get through an inning. So maybe we'll see him sooner than later when the 18 season starts. Maybe as early as opening day, but maybe sometime in April instead of June or July.
To finish up, of course, the biggest national story is the Hurricane Harvey in Houston, and what a disaster that's been. And you look at the decision-making here, Major League Baseball, the Astros and Rangers, and I think all this could have been avoided. John, you wrote a column about it. You know, it does seem petty when you're talking about the seriousness of a hurricane and a national disaster, and you've got, you know, two teams quibbling over where baseball games are going to be played. And I just thought Major League Baseball should have stepped in and said, you know what, here's what we're going to do, one way or the other. You know, you're going to play these games in Texas and Arlington, and, you know, sorry, Astros, you won't get those home games, but you're going to get the gate. You know, we'll compensate you, something like that. I know the Astros didn't like that idea, but if MLB stepped in and said, okay, here's the way it's going to be, that would be it. Instead, you had two teams that were kind of fighting about it, and it does seem insensitive in a way with everything that's going on in Houston.
You're right. Both teams look bad. Both teams put baseball first. Both teams made regrettable decisions. Both teams declined the other team's proposal to figure something out here. And as a result, now they're off in Florida playing this three-game series, which never should have happened. It should be playing in Arlington. It was supposed to be played this week in Houston. Obviously, that was never going to happen. But keep it in the state. Use it as a fundraiser for relief efforts. And, I mean, let's go back to 1989 when we had the earthquake, our own issues here, different strike by Mother Nature, but a strike nonetheless, and a devastating one that, took lives and took property and, broke up families and, broke up cities and towns. But, what happened there was, it was a World Series, so they could postpone it 10 days. And Game 3 happened at Candlestick Park. But you saw the community, rally around each other. You saw Dave Stewart out on the Cypress structure helping people. And it's the same kind of mentality in Houston. It's all about rallying around each other. And baseball took a back seat for a week and a half. The Giants and A's players were quoted within a day of the earthquake as saying, we don't even need to play. We could just go home now. And a lot of guys like Stewart and Dave Henderson and Brett Butler were all quoted as saying, we don't need to play.
Yeah.
This is not important anymore. And it's like they could have even blown off that three-game series. And I don't care about the integrity of the schedule. I mean, people in baseball, the integrity of the schedule, you got to play 162. Well, no, you don't. I mean, if you finish a game out because you didn't play these games, or maybe you finish a game up because you didn't, who cares,
Right.
There's just more important things. And the Astros and Rangers kind of were petty in the whole situation. Houston saying, we can flip-flop the series. We'll play in Arlington, but when at the end of the season, you'll play at our place instead of, and the Rangers said, that means we'll play, 2 weeks full on the road instead of just a week and a half, and we're a wild card team, and we're trying to get in there. We don't want all those road games at the end. And Houston says, we're playing 19 straight road games right now. A week in St. Petersburg, and then we're going to go on the road for a week and a half. So, and it's like they never got together, and they never step back and say, listen, let's just work it out. We'll play wherever we're going to play. But instead, MLB said, no, get out of here. You're going to St. Pete's. You're playing in front of 3,000 people. Really?
Said, yeah, okay. I didn't like
been
that
a lot
decision.
A lot of efforts by the teams and the players on the teams to help out in this cause. But, I mean, there were comments from some of the players that, why are we even here? We should be back in Houston helping these people, or in Texas with our families.
Yeah, if the two teams could agree, they would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in other words, if the two teams agreed, MLB would not have had to step in, right?
Exactly. They only stepped in after the fact. So you guys can't compromise. You guys can't figure it out. Okay, we'll look at neutral sites. And they considered St. Louis. They considered Tampa Bay, and they say, we'll go Tampa Bay. Now, go back to that 89 World Series, the earthquake series. There were talks about playing in a neutral site, including Dodger Stadium, including San Diego, and even Houston. And the players and the team said, no, if there's going to be something played, it's going to be played in the Bay Area. And we'll wait for as long as you want to figure it out. I remember Faye Vincent, the commissioner, he was only in the second month of being the commissioner. We were in a hotel in San Francisco and at the St. Francis, and he had a press conference, and there was no power in the city. There was no electricity. And we had this press conference by candlelight. And that's when he announced, hey, we're going to delay it. It'll be a week, week and a half. We'll keep in contact. I mean, there's no social media to put out the word. So we had a little press conference with candles as we walked up the stairs at the St. Francis to get to this ballroom so we could listen to the commissioner. You know, that's just the way it was right then. I mean, you couldn't, no email to get the word out on. It was just, an announcement word, by mouth. Anyway, I remember writing my story after the earthquake with the headlights of my car, so I could see my computer back then. And I mean, that's you just adjust to the circumstances. And in the case of the Rangers and the Astros, I think they could have done better.
I do too. Well, John, thanks a lot for the time today. Really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you at the ballpark. Hopefully. For this Cardinals series coming up this weekend, if not sometime soon. And we'll chat with you again.
You bet. Thanks, Joe.
That's John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. Join us again on Sunday. We'll be at AT&T Park in San Francisco as the Giants host the St. Louis Cardinals. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.